Ladies and gentlemen, Ed Bousman, Lynchburg, Ohio, and the God Is Just a Prayer Away radio broadcast. It is written, all the churches of Christ salute you. It is written, put to death, therefore, your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. For which things' sake cometh the wrath of God upon the sons of disobedience. It is written, and whatsoever ye do, in word or in deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. It is written, put on the new man that is being renewed unto knowledge after the image of him that created him. Where there cannot be Greek and Jew, circumcision and uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bondman, freeman, but Christ is all and in all. If then you were raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is seated on the right hand of God. Set your mind on things that are above, and not on the things that are upon the earth. For ye died, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall be manifested, then shall ye also with him be manifested in glory. Christ is all and in all. The florist, he's a lily of the valley and the rose of Sharon. To the astronomer, he is the bright and morning star. To the geologist, he is the rock of ages. To the electrician, he's the light of the world. And to the soldier, he's the captain of our salvation. To the doctor, he's the great physician. To the lawyer, he's the advocate with the Father. To the undertaker, he is the resurrection and the life. To the farmer, he is the man who went forth to sow good seed in his field. To the bride, he's the bridegroom. To the elderly, he's the Ancient of Days. To the orphan, he's the everlasting father. To the bricklayer, he is the chief cornerstone. To the carpenter, he is the door. To the tailor, he is the wedding garment. To the lost and damned to hell sinner, he is Christ, all and in all. Ladies and gentlemen, in the third chapter of Colossians, we read that statement, Christ is all and in all. In that chapter, he is proclaimed to be that. The message comes through loud and clear from the apostle. There is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free. But Christ is all and in all. Christ is all in everything. This chapter indicates that there are many ways where Christ is all. For one thing, he is all in the matter of our eternal salvation. The very first verse of this chapter says that, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek the things which are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. The book of Colossians, like all the other books of the Bible, was not written with verse and chapter divisions. The chapters and verses are supplied by uninspired men. Chapters were not inserted until the middle of the 13th century. The verses were not set to number until the middle of the 16th century. So, when this book of Colossians was originally written, it was one letter with no break for chapters or verses. When Paul says, if ye be risen with Christ, we look back a few lines and note where he said we were risen with Christ in what became the 12th verse of the second chapter. Buried with him in baptism, wherein also ye are risen with him through faith in the working of God who raised him from the dead. Then a few verses later, the significance of that burial in baptism is evident when he says that since we were risen with him, we should set our affections on things that are above and not on the things of the earth. You see, our faith saves us at the point of our burial with Jesus in baptism. If we take this statement at face value, then our forgiveness through faith does not happen until the very moment that we experience that burial and that raising. It is there that we meet Jesus at the cross and contact his saving blood as we are buried and then risen to walk with him in a newness of life. The salvation is not in the water. Salvation is in Christ at the point of our obedience in this ordinance. So were you raised with Christ? When it comes to a matter of this ordinance, we can say with Paul, Christ is all and in all. But not only is he all and in all in salvation, he is all and in all in the ascension. The first verse also states that we are to seek the things that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Luke tells us in the first chapter of Acts how Jesus got to that position at God's right hand. And when he had spoken these things while they were looking, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. When Jesus ascended, the apostles could no longer see him, but he could see them. First cosmonaut that went up into outer space said he looked for God and didn't see him. Ladies and gentlemen, God saw him and laughed. At least that's what David said. He said, "He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh, he shall hold them in derision." We can say that Christ is all and in all in the ascension also because of what he does for us at God's right hand. Paul says in Hebrews, "For Christ entered into heaven itself, now to appear before the face of God for us, nor yet that he should suffer himself often as the high priest entereth into the holy place year by year with blood not his own, but now once at the end of the ages he hath been manifested to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. When Jesus ascended, he presented his blood before the Father in the most holy place of heaven, for the cleansing of our sins. If the Father would ever entertain the notion to take this whole world and slam dunk it into hell, it would still be the nail-scarred hand of Jesus that would stay him from that purpose. Christ is also waiting for us at the throne of grace as our daily intercessor. Paul informs us in another place, seeing that we have a great high priest that is passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession, for we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but one who is in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us, therefore, come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help us in time of need. Ladies and gentlemen, Jesus is the only go-between for us and the Heavenly Father. Paul further states it for us in 1 Timothy when he says, "There is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus." When you consider that, this statement rules out of bounds all prayers to everybody else except Jesus. All prayers to Mary, all prayers to the apostles, as well as all other prayers to any of the living dead, whether it be St. Tom, St. Dick, or St. Harry, it is evident that in the ascension, Christ is all. Christ is all also in the second coming of Jesus. The fourth verse of this chapter says, "When Christ, who is our life, shall be manifested, then shall we also appear with him in glory." At one church service many years ago I attended, there was a discussion on the second coming. One person wondered, why would the Lord want to come again since he's already been here once? And why would he want to come back again? Besides, how would we know him if he did come? the first time he came, most people didn't recognize him. So how would we know it was really the Lord if he came again? Ladies and gentlemen, there will be no difficulty in knowing the Lord when he returns. Who else but Jesus would appear in the heavens without benefit of spaceship? Who else but Jesus would come with the sound of a trumpet? Who else but Jesus would come in flaming fire? Who else but Jesus would come surrounded by a host of angels? Who else but Jesus would come with a shout that would be loud enough to awaken all the dead? And who else but Jesus would appear in the clouds with the keys of death and Hades dangling from his celestial keychain? The Christian can say, "He is my life, and I shall be manifested with him in glory." John tells us in the first chapter of Revelation, "Behold, he cometh with the clouds, and every eye shall see him, yea, and they that pierced him. And all the tribes of the earth shall mourn over him, even so." Our relationship as Christians is told at the second coming in these thrilling words of Paul in 1 Thessalonians. "The Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, and with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive unto his coming and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words." And so as far as the second coming of the Lord is concerned, Christ is all and in all. Christ is all also as far as heaven is concerned. The second verse of this chapter tells us, "Set your affections on things above, not on the things of the earth." The Christian is exhorted to be concerned about heavenly things. Some hell-bound folks sneeringly refer to the hope of the Christian as pie in the sky. They think that at least until the day a loved one of theirs dies, and then they talk about how much better off he is now that he's gone to be with the Lord. I wish they'd make up their minds. Is there a heaven or not? If my hope of heaven can be classified as pie in the sky, that is well and good. I will eat my pie in the sky with the Lord Jesus at what John calls the wedding supper of the Lamb. There's another supper, however, that will take place about the same time that God has prepared for the unrepentant. John tells us of an angel that gave an invitation to all the birds in the heaven to come to the great supper of God, and that he will eat the flesh of kings and captains and mighty men and horses and them that sit thereon, and the flesh of all men, great and small. What a supper that is going to be for the buzzards. Jesus will be the center of attraction of all in heaven. John further states in Revelation chapter 5, "And every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth, and such as are in the sea and all that are in them, heard I saying, blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth on the throne and unto the Lamb forever and ever." Ladies and gentlemen, your name is written in the Bible, and mine also. Yes, my name is in the Bible, and I know that it is true. It was written there by Jesus, whosoever, that means you. And he knew it when he wrote it by the bright and glassy sea, that my name is whosoever. That means you, and that means me. In heaven, Christ is all and in all. Then again, we note that Christ is all and in all in the lifestyle of the Christian. The fifth verse of this chapter that tells where Christ is all is noted when these sobering words are spoken: "Put to death your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. For which things' sake the wrath of God cometh upon the sons of disobedience. It is evident to many people in the world that there is no difference in the lifestyle of the Christian and the people of the world. Paul is speaking to the Colossian Church of Christ in this epistle. A person who belongs to the Church of Christ does not subscribe to the doctrine that once you are saved, you never can be lost. Although there are a lot of members of the Church of Christ who practice that doctrine. According to the statement of Paul, when we come into the church, we stop living as we did when we were in the world. That statement about the wrath of God on the sons of disobedience ought to shake some people up a little bit. When Christopher Columbus discovered the Western Hemisphere, perhaps there were some that did not believe he'd been anywhere all those years or months or anyway he had been away, and they doubted that he'd ever been anywhere. But when they saw the new kind of people that he brought back from this newly discovered country, the world believed then that there was another place besides what they had been used to. The world is not going to believe that the church is filled with people who have been to Calvary until they see a new kind of people. Christ is all and in all. Notice also that Christ is all in all also in the church. The 15th verse of this chapter, in this chapter tells us how he's all in all in the church when it says, "And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also you're called in one body, and be ye thankful." Jesus never started but one church. He never started one single denomination. There were no Protestant churches in the New Testament. There were no Catholic churches in the New Testament. If there is no such thing as a Protestant church or a Catholic church in the Bible, where in the world did they come from? The only answer I can give is that they did not come from Jesus or any of the apostles. If they had, then the Lord and the apostles would have mentioned them many times. Since they never spoke of them, they must have been started by men after the New Testament was written. And by men, they were never acquainted, who were never acquainted with the Lord or his apostles. However, the only thing I'm really concerned about is the question, am I a member of the church that Jesus calls his church? Am I a member of that particular body? I am not concerned about telling any of you that you are not a member of it or that you are a member of it. I have a soul to save, and I want to be sure it is a member of the one body that Paul mentions here. In Acts chapter 2, verse 47, Luke tells us that the Lord added to the church day by day such as should be saved. Those who were saved were members of the one body. Now, who were the saved? Acts chapter 2, verse 37 says, the people who heard the first gospel sermon concerning the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus said, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" Verse 38 says that Peter told them, "Repent ye and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." I won't try to explain that. I'll just leave it like it is because it's plain enough as it is. What have you just heard is a question asked by people in the Bible. And the answer is the answer that was given by a preacher in the Bible to the Jews at that time, as well as to all others that were afar off, even as many as the Lord our God should call unto him, and that means you. Since the preacher in the Bible said that it was by the authority of Jesus, I conclude then in the matter of becoming a member of the one body, Christ is all and in all. Not only that, but he is all and in all in prayer. In verse 17, Paul says, "And whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father by him. Whatever you do as a Christian, do it in the name of the Lord Jesus. He said, tell God about it. Pray to God, and tell God you are praying through Jesus. Certainly then, Christ is all and in all, as far as prayer is concerned. So go ahead, do something in the name of the Lord, and blame it on Jesus. Do it in the name of Jesus. Here is a short rule of thumb that a person might want to look at. Can you deliberately miss the Lord's Supper in the name of the Lord and give thanks to God the Father through him? Can you tell a dirty joke to someone today in the name of the Lord and give thanks to God the Father through him? Can you drink a few beers in the name of the Lord and give thanks to God the Father through him? Can you smoke a cigar in the name of the Lord and give thanks to God the Father through him? Can you look at pornography on the internet in the name of the Lord and give thanks to God the Father through him? Can you commit adultery in the name of the Lord and give thanks to God the Father through him? Can you perform or submit to an abortion and give thanks to God the Father through him? When you consider that our prayers are answered in his name, it is evident that we can't pray many prayers in the name of Jesus. It is evident that Christ is all and in all. Once more, Christ is all and in all in the important matter of the Word of God. Verse 16 instructs us, "Let the Word of God dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord." The Word of God is the whole Bible. Remember what the Lord told those who objected to his authority in chapter 5 of John? "Ye search the Scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, and these are they which testify of me." Jesus was speaking of the Old Testament Scriptures and speaking of them. He said that they testified of him. The story of the Old Testament, as well as the New Testament, is the story of Jesus. The entire Bible testifies of him. Christ is all and in all. I saw a picture one time of the Declaration of Independence. It was written in such a way that some parts were darker than others. The darker parts formed the head of Thomas Jefferson, who was the major author of that document. The Bible, in a similar manner, has the outline of the Lord Jesus Christ from Genesis to Revelation. When you read the Bible, you will see Jesus in all the parables of the Bible. You will see Jesus in all the prayers of the Bible. You will see Jesus in all the poetry of the Bible. You will see Jesus in all the prose of the Bible. You will see Jesus in all the preaching of the Bible. You will see Jesus in all the prophecies of the Bible. You will see Jesus in all the praise of the Bible. You will see Jesus on every page of the Bible. Ladies and gentlemen, as far as the Word of God is concerned, in whatever category, Christ is all and in all. Ladies and gentlemen, you've been listening to another God is Just a Prayer Away radio broadcast brought to you each week at the same time by Churches of Christ and Christian churches who are concerned about your soul's salvation. The address: Ed Bousman, Bousman, Post Office Box 511, Lynchburg, Ohio 45142. Only as you reach back to us with your letters of support can we reach out to you with the gospel as it was preached in the days of the apostles. The address again: Ed Bousman, Post Office Box 511, Lynchburg, Ohio 45142. Check out our website, edbousman.org.
praise the Lord, pass the ammunition, tell somebody, somehow and in some way, that God is just a prayer away.